12 verses this morning. It's speaking of the fifth trumpet. The fifth trumpet. As you know, we've gone through the first four trumpets, and significant in the things that were taking place in those four judgments. And I'm not going to review any of that this morning for the sake of time. But the next three judgments are of unbelievable magnitude. The next three judgments, actually, it says these are three woes. They're significant of what is going to take place in this time in the tribulation period. Believers in the church age have been plucked out. We believe Scripture teaches us that clearly, not because we want to escape it, but because God's Word says that we will. He will not take His church through the wrath of God. Okay? They're going to be plucked out. We will be plucked out. And so pre-trib, taken out before the tribulation. But then the focus then turns to the nation Israel, and then ultimately making things right in the world as a whole. God having to deal with sin and having to deal with a people who has chose to reject Him. And so judgment ensues, and we have gone through the seven seals, went through four of the trumpets, and now we get to the fifth trumpet, and again, we're going to begin to see here the gravity of what is going to take place in the tail end of these 7 years, and it's going to be devastating. But God has a purpose, and He hates sin, and He's also, as we see in this, as we've also learned, that God in His grace and His mercy is going to allow some, actually many, 144,000 Jews, and many others, Jews included, but many others that are going to come to know Christ in the tribulation and are going to go through these horrible times. They will pay the ultimate price. You talk about no freedom. They will not have freedom. But they will have peace, and they'll have the hope, and their 144,000 do have the protection of God upon them, as we already looked back in chapter 7. And so they're going to come back up in this passage here this morning. So, Revelation chapter 9. And following, and I think, now I'll go ahead and read this, okay? The fifth angel, if you have your Bibles, follow along. The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss, and when he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke from gigantic furnace. The sun and the sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. And out of the smoke, locusts came down upon the earth and were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or plant or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were not given power to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion that when it strikes a man. During those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. The locusts looked like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads they wore something like crowns of gold, and their faces resembled human faces. Their hair was like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth, and they had breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. They had tails and stings like scorpions, and in their tails they had power to torment people for 5 months. They had as king over them the angel of the abyss, whose name is in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek Apollyon. The first woe is past. Two other woes are yet to come. A solemn, horrific moment in time that is going to take place here. And you see, as you remember, there was that silent pause before the trumpets began to sound, a half hour of silence that took place in Revelation 8, verse 1. And you get the understanding, the gravity of what is about to take place in the world, and God's judgment that has to be poured out upon sin. And man, every man and woman has a choice. Everyone has a choice on whether or not to choose to place their faith and trust in the finished work of Christ or to reject him, as we see in John. And he didn't come to condemn the world, but to redeem it. And everyone has an opportunity. Everyone has an opportunity to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Some accept it, some reject it. Those who choose to reject it are going to experience this journey. If they are alive during the time when the rapture takes place and they go on into the tribulation, it's going to be a horrible, horrible journey. What we're going to see here in this passage is really, in looking at reading and commentaries and the different thoughts and out there because what is being released are demons from the abyss. The demonic warfare that is going to take place in this time, and the evil that is going to be poured out is going to be unbelievable. Spiritual warfare like none other. And we're seeing here in this passage really how it lays out what it is, how it describes these evil spirits that are released. It gives description of them, and there's a reason that the Lord put those in here, is for us to learn about. So what does it symbolize, or what is it telling us about what is going to happen here, and what's their character, what is taking place? And so we're going to look at that here in these moments. In Revelation 9:1, we see this passage, the first woe through verse 12. The star that had fallen from the sky is more than likely that of Satan himself. Whether it's pointing to if John was seeing when Satan fell from heaven, when he wanted to be God, and his pride and his arrogance, and God cast him out then, or it's unclear. But I do believe from what I, there's some commentaries. In fact, if you have the Life Application Bible, it might, in your commentary there, they might say, no, that it actually was a good angel, or maybe even Christ, but that doesn't fit. That doesn't fit at all. Most of the commentaries, either a fallen angel or actually Satan himself, is this star that had fallen from the sky to the earth to open, ultimately to open the abyss. And we see here in this passage. The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. It doesn't make any sense to me that it had, would it be anything of a good angel or possibly Christ at all. It has to be Satan or a fallen angel that is given this key. More than likely, it is Satan. He was given authority to unleash the demons from the abyss on the earth. Since the title, Hell on Earth, we are going to see here when the demonic Holocaust or battle and horrible things that are going to take place, tormenting people like they've never been tormented before. In Revelation 9:2, it says, when he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and the sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. We see here that ultimately, and we'll see it several times actually throughout this passage, but that what Satan has the opportunity and the ability to do has to be authorized by God. Satan does not have sovereign will and plan. God does. And what God allows for Satan to do, and we see some constraints here that are given in this passage of what Satan, when he releases these demons, these evil spirits from the abyss, from hell itself, and they flood the earth and go out and torment people. But they have restraints, just as you see in Job. As Job did not, Satan not having freedom to do whatever he wanted with Job, but God told him what he could do, what Satan could do. And he could not touch his life, though. And it's a very similar thing that we see here. At the blowing of the fifth trumpet, hell is unleashed on earth. It's just a taste of what is to come. And yet, it's quite real in the sense of reality of what eternity is going to be in hell for those. They are going to want to die. They're going to be in torment and in pain and in suffering and longing for death if they could just have it done with, if they could just be over the suffering and the pain, and yet they will never get away from it and they will never die, but it'll be eternal. And you say, that is so wretched of God to do. No, God has offered and has opened up the opportunity that all may come to know him as Savior and Lord. He has made a way. And mankind has a choice to place their faith and trust in the finished work of what he has done or to reject it. God doesn't send them to hell. They send themselves to hell. They send themselves in eternal torment. If you are here today and you don't know Christ, you are choosing, unless you turn your heart to him, you are choosing an eternity of hell. God isn't doing it to you. We have a choice. We all have an opportunity to come to a saving knowledge of him and to be, for our sins to be forgiven and to be set free and brought into a relationship with him and then to walk and step with him. Important days that you and I as believers live in. My friends, as we think about demonic work, I'm telling you, you look at what's going on in our world today, and I'm telling you, demonic work is already being unleashed in so many ways. Nothing like what we're going to see here in 9. But I'm telling you, I believe from this whole scamdemic to the whole, it's all from the pit of hell. I believe it. It is not of God. It is something that the enemy is desiring to take people down. And we as the body of Christ have got to remember who we belong to and to stand firm in the faith and to be growing in the grace and all, passionate about doing what we can to share and to proclaim and to bring people up in the truth of God and His Word, starting with our littlest of people on up to the oldest, that we would be pouring into people, loving them, caring for them, and pointing them to Jesus. Because without Jesus, you have nothing. The books are endless. The movies are endless that are demonic, that have demons and witchcraft and you name it in it. There's movies that my kids have never been able to watch, and many others do, but that's okay. But I don't want my kids to watch junk that's out there that has spiritism. And if it's not about Jesus, if it's not about God, if it's not pointing to heaven, I don't want them to know. I don't want them to be susceptible to it. It's filth from the pit of hell, and it's everywhere today. This isn't something that's only going to happen in the future, but my friends, the foundation of evil is being laid more than ever and in a greater intensity, I believe, today, preparing this old world for what is to come. And what's sad is that we don't get it to that in this passage, but the great delusion, ultimately, the delusion that comes over people, right? And just, we're pretty much there. People are delusional today. They don't see the truth. They don't know the truth. They can't see that what they're doing. Or is it maybe that they know exactly what they're doing and they are allowing evil to reign and rule in their life and they're pouring it out upon others? But my friends, who are we to be? Lord, please help us for our hearts and our minds to be tender, to be pliable, to be learning of your goodness and who you call us to be, and that we are to be a light and a testimony in this dark and dying world. Well, the evil spirits, letter B, we are given a description of their appearance and their character. And that's what we see in the remainder of this passage. We're going to go through this fairly quick, but I want for you to just, there's some key things that I think we can take from this of what this demonic onslaught is going to do in this time in the tribulation. And there's things for us to take. Again, the demonic world is very real today, and we better be on guard, and we better be prepared. And to realize that ultimately our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the principalities, the powers of the air, right? We know that. It's always been that way. But I can tell you it's intensifying. And we have got to stand firm in the faith and guard our hearts and our minds. We are given this description. The evil spirits are compared to locusts. And as we go through this passage, we see that they're something much different than locusts, but it's a picture of what locusts, the character of a locust and what they do. And we'll see that here in Revelation 9:3. And out of the smoke, locusts came down upon the earth and were given power like the scorpions of the earth. They came from the abyss and were given power. These demonic beings are given great power and ability to do the work of the enemy and pour out and unleash pain and suffering. And I would suggest, if you think about what we'll see here in a moment, of wanting desperately to die and yet you can't die, not being granted that opportunity to be delivered from this horrible torment, the insanity that it must inflict upon, just making you insane and just not being able to function, and the horrible journey that these people are going to go through. They came from the abyss, and they were given power, Revelation 9:3, and out of the smoke, locusts came down upon the earth and were given power like the scorpions of the earth. Well, what's significant about the scorpions of the earth? Their power was compared to that of a scorpion. Well, what does a scorpion do? A scorpion, when it stings, there's 1,500 different scorpions or species or whatever out there, but a very few, like 30 out of all of those, their sting can possibly lead to death. Most of them, when you are stung by a scorpion, the pain and the suffering that you go through is intense. You wish you could die. And of course, it varies from, to how much venom and all of that. But the reality is, this picture here is what these evil spirits are going out and doing and inflicting pain upon those who have rejected Christ. And they're going to be tormented. They're going to suffer so greatly. And yet, what they have been stung with is not going to kill them. And so they continue to suffer. And we see here that they're given a time frame in this passage of 5 months. These people are tormented by something they can't get away from. They came from the abyss, were given power. That power is compared to a scorpion. They will inflict pain, much pain, but not kill them. They were given permission to inflict torture upon their prey for 5 months. Again, God sets the parameters. But let us remember something, my friends. Our focus should, when we think about this, ultimately, yes, God is going to deal and pour out judgment upon humanity for rejecting him. But you want to know something? The enemy, that's his desire from the very beginning. He hates you, and he hates the world, and he hates everything in it. He hates everything that God has created, and he, if given the privilege and the opportunity, he would destroy everyone immediately. It would be done. So turn your focus upon the hatred towards the enemy who hates you, and he desires for you to reject the one who gives life, and he wants you to live in torment. That's the enemy. That's what he wants us to live in. He wants us, when suffering and pain comes, he wants us to get angry at God and think that it's God's problem. No, Satan hates you, and he wants you to be in misery, and he wants you to die, and he wants you to suffer, and he wants you to be in pain, and he will inflict his pain, and he's going to experience it for all eternity also, because he is already a defeated foe, but Satan is going to experience hell for all eternity, torment and pain. But he wants to take you with him. And he wants to take the world with him. So let's remember who our enemy is. Let's remember who we should be going against and who we should be standing with. Don't stand against God, but stand with him and stand for truth. Stand for light. Stand for what's where we have hope, and hate the things of evil. He hates you, and he hates me. And he hates these people. But God says, you can only do so much. You can't do what you ultimately want to do, Satan. You can only do so much, and what he's going to do is horrible. Just remember who your enemy is. It's not God. And just remember, and we need to be remembering this as we're thinking about a world that's needing a Savior. Without Jesus, we are a friend of Satan and an enemy of Christ. Remember that. When people choose to not trust in Jesus, their friend is Satan. Your friend is Satan if you don't know Jesus. You belong to him. Oh, you've been created by God, but our nature takes us down a pathway away from God. Oh, important truths for us to remember. Revelation 9:5, they were given power to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months, and the agony they suffered was like that of one of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Oh, it hurts like none other, but it won't kill you, and you only wish you could die. And that's the sting that these evil spirits are going to go out and inflict upon the people of this time. The prey are those without the seal upon their forehead, spoke of in 7:3. We looked at that here some weeks ago. Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of God. Those who would be protected. So even in the midst of the tribulation, we see grace and mercy, don't we? Remember, that's the God that we serve. You still see grace and mercy in the midst of a horrible journey that God has to pour out his wrath upon sin, upon rejecting him. Those tormented will be wanting nothing more than to die, yet they can't. I want nothing more. Just finish me off. Get me free of this bondage, of this torment. Remember, that's the destiny to all who go into eternity without Jesus, dying and going into eternity. That's what they are looking forward to. My friends, should that not bring us to our knees and convict us of what we're about? Should it not? This is the plight, the future of those who don't know Jesus. Don't be too proud, or don't be fearful to share the truth with someone with the idea of you might be rejected. Share it with love and share it with grace. But we need to share the truth. Number two, the evil spirits have an unquenchable desire to destroy everything before them. That's what a locust does. A locust is one that is out to destroy whatever's before them. Revelation 9:4, they were told not to harm the grass and the earth or the plant or a tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Locusts aren't, they go out and whatever's in their path. I was talking to somebody here some months ago, and I maybe have already mentioned this, but up in North Dakota here just last year, if they didn't put their rakes inside or their wooden handle, the locusts, they'd eat them. They'd just eat the wood handles right off of their, that's happened just recently, right? Last year in North Dakota. Crazy. Well, like the locust plague of 1951 and 52 that took place in Iran and Iraq, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, hundreds of thousands of square miles. They said the worst plague ever of locusts, and what they went and did in that part of the world. Hundreds of thousands of square miles of vegetation were destroyed in that year. But God, again, he puts a restraint on them. They can only do so much in this. Again, evil spirits. These aren't actually locusts. These are evil spirits that have the same character, though, of a locust. They want to go out and destroy everything in their path. But that's our enemy. That's what he does. Revelation number three, the evil spirits had the shape of horses. See in verse 7, the locusts looked like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads they wore something like crowns of gold, and their faces resembled human faces. Throughout the book of Revelation, horses are seen as a symbol of defiance. We see that numerous places throughout Revelation. So there's a picture of horse, but there's power, there's strength there. And there's this idea of the horse ready to go to battle, chomping at the bit, ready to go. That's what these evil spirits are like. These evil spirits are crowned with gold. They're invincible. They themselves cannot be destroyed. Mankind will have no answer for the torment being inflicted upon them. In this time period, these evil spirits are going to inflict their pain and their suffering upon these people, and there's going to be no answer. Humanity, they're going to be wanting to do something against them, but they can do nothing because they're invincible in this scenario. Again, we know their plight ultimately. They are a defeated foe and will be also cast into the lake of fire for eternity when it's all said and done. But in this moment, there's nothing that humanity can do against them. They're powerless against them. These evil spirits were very intelligent. They had faces like humans. And you read the commentaries talking about the significance of the human face. They didn't have a human, but it like the face of a human, and the fact that they're intelligent. They knew what they were doing. This wasn't just, you know, out. They knew exactly what they're doing. And that's what troubles me even today, is I wonder how many people we look at that we say that maybe they're delusional or whatever, but how many people are already being instruments of Satan in so many ways, just pouring out evil. They know what they're doing, and they want to be magnified and glorified themselves. I don't know. It's sick. It's so sick. But that's what we're dealing with today. They are beautiful. Or their hair, these evil spirits had hair like a woman. And the picture here of that, they were beautiful, they were attractive. So it's not something that, but isn't that the way Satan is? He masquerades himself. He's a counterfeit. It's like people are drawn to him, drawn to sin. Oh, it's so good for a moment. And then you get stung. So we don't see these, you know, horrible-looking beasts running. No, it's actually they're beautiful, and it's something that would actually attract you to them. This is what they're going to be facing, the people in the time of the tribulation. They are beautiful and attractive in the eye of the beholder. We also see that these demons, evil spirits, they have teeth like a lion. When they get their teeth on them, when they get their prey, they won't let go. That's the picture. A lion, when you watch, and if you ever get on YouTube, it's kind of crazy when you watch when you look at nature and how animals deal with each other, and you watch lions when they get a hold of their prey, and that animal can be flailing around, and they won't let go until they wear them down. They usually take them right at the throat, and they'll eventually, a lion or a cheetah, so often you'll see they'll get them at the throat and they'll just suffocate them. It takes a while. It's not quick. They don't care though. They'll hang on. They won't let go. Well, that's the way these evil spirits are going to be. They will inflict great wounds. They have teeth like a lion. They will inflict great wounds. Nothing can pry them loose. These evil spirits are unable to be harmed. I already mentioned that. And really in verse 10 is really kind of some just reiteration. They had tails and a sting like a scorpion. Why is that significant? It's going to be a sting that's going to hurt like none other. It's going to be torment to them, and yet it's not going to kill them. My friends, this is what is coming for those who don't know Jesus as Savior. Do you care? Do I care? Do I care that there's people that don't know Jesus, and this is what they're looking forward to? Oh, it should bring us to our knees and be asking the Lord to help us to be a witness and a testimony, a light. This is important days we're living in, my friends. And we should be passionate about living for Jesus. And every opportunity that we have, let's be sharing it. I do believe the day is drawing nigh. God's word tells us that it is. Doesn't matter what I think. Just be looking up, though. He tells us to be looking and watching and waiting. And boy, the signs are there. Their torment will be inflicted for 5 months. And by the grace of God. But, my friends, remember what eternity is going to look like for those who don't know Jesus. It's not for 5 months. It's for eternity. The first woe is past, and there is two more yet to come. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I can't. But, Lord, use these passages to do a convicting work in our spirits and bring us to a point of passion and conviction that, Lord, you have redeemed us and saved us not to be living the free, easy life, but to be passionate about living a life on purpose for Christ. Whatever he brings in our path, we are going to live for him and serve him, and we're going to proclaim him until he comes again. Because there's nothing free and easy about eternity and hell. Perspective. We have to think about that. It's convicting. And should drive us to our knees. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer? Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. Lord, these are tough passages. Lord, there's nothing, even for those, even our worst enemies, you can't wish them this upon them. And Lord, you don't desire that they experience this. You desire that all come to know you as saving faith and trust in you, and you alone, that they'll still experience life, eternal life, abundant life, joy, peace, hope. You long for that. And Lord, I pray that you will raise the church up in these days in which we are living and help us to be the forefront, the ones ready to go and be the good news. Live out the good news in this world in which we live. And Lord, whatever you call us to, I pray that you will help us to be trusting you and live out by faith what you've called us to for your glory and for your praise. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this time, and encourage us, Lord, this week as we live on purpose for you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You're dismissed.